Behind the Arc. A look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc. Hear about the week's biggest storylines. From blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc. Here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
Welcome to the Behind the Arc podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. I appreciate you checking out Behind the Arc, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, 99.1 thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Animal app. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the podcast. Tennessee falls to Kentucky 70-55. Another inconsistent offensive performance from Tennessee leads to what is to date this season easily its worst loss of the year, losing to a Kentucky team that was 7-13 going in, a team that's underachieved, was winless against ranked opponents going into this game, was ranked outside the top 50 in the KenPom rankings. Tennessee shoots 32% from the field, 27% from three-point range, and fails to really get anything going offensively as the Vols fall by 15 to Kentucky at Thompson Bowling Arena. Tennessee heavily out-rebounded in this game, 43-31, also with 10 turnovers. That certainly doesn't help, which is not a super high amount, but when you just combine some bad mistakes with the fact that Tennessee did not shoot the ball well, John Fulkerson just 4 points after having 19 in the game earlier this week against South Carolina. Eve Pons, a decent day with 10 points on 4-7 shooting. Keon Johnson, 15 points, but on 14 shots, just 1 of 5 from 3-point range. Victor Bailey Jr., a solid 18 points, 5 of 10 shooting, 4 of 8 from behind the arc. Jaden Springer, 2 of 11 from the field, and finishes with 4 points. Tennessee with just 4 points from its bench, including Santiago Viscoe going 0 for 3 from behind the arc. And again, Tennessee not getting second chance points, giving up 11 offensive rebounds in the process, and Kentucky shooting 85% from the charity stripe, 40% from the field, 50% from three. Davion Mitz hit his first 4 three-point attempts in the first half as he helped Kentucky with 15 points. Isaiah Jackson led with 16, and Kentucky has its best win of the season against Tennessee, and the Vols coming down the stretch here in these last few games, going up against 4 teams over these last 2 weeks. Teams that they should be able to beat, teams that they should handle easily, where you don't really have an opportunity to boost your resume, but you can certainly hurt your resume with a loss this late in the year. And that's exactly what happened to Tennessee. According to Joe Lenardi of ESPN, his bracketology, he had Tennessee as a 4 seed entering the weekend. I would imagine that Tennessee will drop after that bad loss to Kentucky at home. There's no way to sugarcoat it. That was just a bad performance by Tennessee. And after Tennessee, and look, it's one thing where it's just going back and forth. That really hasn't been the case for Tennessee this entire season in terms of one game to the next. But Tennessee going into this game had scored 80 points in 3 of its past 4 games. And you had the loss 78-65 to LSU, but Tennessee for the most part had been taking care of business against teams that aren't going to sniff the NCAA tournament. And Will Shelton of Game Day on Rocky Top pointed that out on our radio station on Sports 180 on Friday, was that you look at Ole Miss, but Ole Miss entered the weekend as a bubble team. Now that's going to be changed as the Rebels lost to Mississippi State on Saturday, but Will Shelton had pointed out Tennessee really doesn't have a terribly, terribly bad loss. And while Kentucky is technically a quadrant 2 team, that's a terrible loss for Tennessee at home. That's a team that was 6 games below 500, a team that played absolutely poorly throughout most of the season, and Tennessee went out and had another bad offensive shooting performance, but also did not play well defensively. Rick Barnes talked about that after the game, just talking about the ups and downs of this team. He thought in the first half especially that Tennessee did not defend the way that they're capable of, and how could you argue with them otherwise? Kentucky with 45 first half points, and Tennessee held Kentucky to just 25 points in the second half, but only scored 25 points on their own, just unable to get anything going. And it's frustrating because you got back-to-back consistent performances from Victor Bailey Jr. If you had told me going into the game that Victor Bailey was going to shoot 50% from the field, go 4 of 8 from three-point range, and score 18 points, I would have thought, okay, Tennessee's offense should be in pretty good shape. But because that should open things up for Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer, and hopefully things up inside for Eve Pons and John Fulkerson, and it didn't. And you had a terrible day from Jaden Springer. You did not involve John Fulkerson enough, and for a large part of the first half, Tennessee didn't go inside out. There was very little effort to get the ball inside. Tennessee kept settling for outside shots. You kept seeing more attempts at shot creation than solid ball movement, and that absolutely killed Tennessee in the first half. It never got the offense rolling in the second half. Just 12 assists for Tennessee, 5 from Keon Johnson, 4 from Vescovi off the bench, and a frustrating performance for a Tennessee team that looked like it was finally starting to find its offense. And Barnes kind of talked about that. He said, you know, with Kentucky shooting the ball well in the first half, we let them get a little bit comfortable, and then we got anxious. And that's the word that he used to describe his team. We played against them. They've played that gap defense. We knew full well that would be the adjustment they would make. They were going to get more in the gaps. If you don't get stops, you're not going to be able to get out and transition as much. They're making baskets. They're going to be able to get back and get their defense set. And that was another thing. Kentucky getting buckets in transition. Tennessee didn't do that. And we've talked before on this podcast about how much Tennessee struggles both defensively and offensively when its transition game is not working well and it's not getting fast break points. Kentucky did a good chunk of that in the first half and made Tennessee pay for it, for Tennessee not being able to reciprocate, and just a very frustrating game for Tennessee. And Barnes also said he didn't think his team was mentally prepared the day before, which leads me to believe, did Tennessee overlook Kentucky? Did Tennessee think, okay, we beat them by double digits at Rupp Arena 2 weeks ago, we've got this in the bag? And I don't understand how you can justify that when it's still Kentucky. It's still a talented Kentucky team. We've all seen Kentucky be competitive in a bunch of their losses this year. And in 9 of Kentucky's 13 losses this season, they've had a second half lead. So it's not like Kentucky's just going and getting blown out by 30 night in and night out. This is a team that's utilizing its talent at least enough to be competitive. But also, who are you overlooking Kentucky for? Tennessee plays Vanderbilt on Wednesday, a 6-12 Vanderbilt team, and then closes out the season against an 11-12 Auburn team. So who is Tennessee overlooking to get past Kentucky? I mean, if anything, Kentucky was the one losable game out of the last 3 on this schedule. Now you actually kind of have to worry about Auburn coming up next weekend because of what Sharif Cooper can do and because of the talent that they have and how explosive that offense is. Because sure, Auburn's inconsistent. They've got serious flaws this year with Bruce Pearl. But if Tennessee shoots 32% from the field again, it may not take a whole lot for Auburn offensively to be able to beat Tennessee. And you could be looking at going 1-2 in this final 3-game stretch against teams that all have losing records in the SEC. And that would just be unacceptable for this team. And it's been an underachievement for Tennessee this year, I think, from the grand scheme of things. Ultimately, you're still talking about a team that's going to go to the tournament. But as the math would play out, if you're a 4 or a 5 seed and you advance the Sweet 16, you're getting a number 1 seed in that round, which I think in most seasons, that's something that you would kind of just accept and move forward with. But in a year where you've got a 50-50 shot, if you're a 4 or a 5 seed and you have to play Gonzaga or Baylor, you're going to be in one of those two regions as a 4 or 5 seed where Gonzaga or Baylor is the top seed in your region. And if you end up going to the Sweet 16, especially for Tennessee going up, if Tennessee is a 5 seed, upsets a 4 seed and finds a way to get to the Sweet 16, good luck going up against that situation where you're having to play the 1 seed in the Sweet 16 and then try to find a way to advance to the Elite Eight if you're going up against Gonzaga or Baylor. Because for Tennessee's offensive struggles going up against either of those two teams, it's going to be a shootout. And Tennessee, I honestly would not trust this offense to be able to get past one of the elite teams in college basketball. Seth Greenberg of ESPN, don't take this team past the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. And so that's Seth Greenberg saying this team's not getting to the Sweet 16. And how could you argue that they are? Sure, the seeding might wind up that you would expect that team to get to the second weekend of the SEC tournament. Certainly Tennessee has the ability to be able to get there, but we're also talking about a program that's only been to the eight Sweet 16s in its program history. And for Tennessee's lack of consistency, you would just think historically this would be a situation where the Vols don't get past the second round of the NCAA tournament. And that's just the sad reality of it, that you've got that 4-5 matchup that you're likely looking at in the second round. And you see some of these potential 4 or 5 seeds from other regions and other parts of the country and what you could be looking at there. I mean, you've got USC, which has been red hot, Wisconsin, which is a very balanced team offensively and defensively. These are all the five seeds, according to Joe Lunardi's bracketology, entering the weekend. You have Creighton, which of course can be incredibly dangerous, and then Kansas, which Tennessee has beaten, but Kansas has won five of its last six, and the Jayhawks have been red hot. So if you're a four seed and you're running into one of those five teams, well, to me, there's not a whole lot of difference between the four or the five seeds. The four seeds that Lunardi had coming into this weekend: Tennessee, Texas Tech, Texas, and Florida State. Four really talented, well-coached teams that can all be really dangerous, but there's nothing that screams that there's a big difference between the four and the five seed. And of course, you got to watch out for those 5-12 upsets, and there's no guarantee that the four and the five seed in every region is going to get to the second round. But that's the sort of situation you're looking at if you're Tennessee, where you go from fighting for that two or that three line to where you can potentially avoid some of these top seeds in your own region for, you know, at least surely into the second weekend. That's not the case anymore. I don't think there's any chance for Tennessee to get anything higher than a four seed. I think they would need a little bit of help to get to the four seed line. But right now, Joe Lunardi of ESPN has Tennessee at a four seed. Certainly, they're going to drop six SEC teams getting into the tournament. Florida, of course, having a little bit of a bit of an up and down game, but fortunately for the Gators, able to come back with a big performance from Colin Castleton in the second half. And Florida took care of Georgia 70-63. Elsewhere around the SEC, Alabama edged out Vanderbilt 82-78. Missouri beat South Carolina 93-78. LSU crushed Auburn 104-80. And then, as we mentioned, Mississippi State upsetting Ole Miss 66-56. So Ole Miss, the one bubble team in the SEC, according to Joe Lunardi's bracketology, taking a loss today. Teams that he had in the tournament: LSU, Florida got wins, Missouri got a win, Alabama got a win, Tennessee took a loss. Now, that's not going to drop Tennessee out of the field, but it's going to drop Tennessee off the four seed line. And then Arkansas and Texas A&M was postponed. So Arkansas, the sixth SEC tournament team that Lunardi had in his bracket as of now, but the Razorbacks not playing, but still sitting there with a 17-5 record. And what has been an impressive second season for Eric Musselman. Entering the weekend, Lunardi had Arkansas as a six seed. So Tennessee takes the loss to Kentucky 70-55 at Thompson Bowling Arena. Again, Tennessee shooting just 32% from the field. And you see that number and you kind of groan and think, oh, well, that's not good. Well, what's really frustrating is that that's only the third lowest total that Tennessee has had in terms of shooting percentage this year. Another bad shooting performance from behind the arc, especially, which is especially frustrating considering that Victor Bailey Jr. went 4 of 8. The rest of the team going 2 of 14 from outside. So offensive struggles continue for Tennessee, and that's not something that you want to see this late in the season. Tennessee will have to turn its attention to a road game against Vanderbilt. Its last two games will be away from Knoxville: at Vanderbilt Wednesday, at Auburn next Saturday. That's a 9 o'clock tip-off on Wednesday, a noon tip-off next Saturday against Tennessee's former coach Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers. So we'll come back, we'll discuss what's happening in the SEC, some chaos happening in the Pac-12 that might have just ruined the chances for one Pac-12 tournament hopeful. We'll discuss all of it and more on the Behind the Arc podcast. A lot of chaos already starting with March, just a couple of weeks away. And something that was noticed earlier on in the day: Kansas, 23rd ranked team in the country, knocking off Texas Tech 67-61. Since getting pummeled by Tennessee at Thompson Bowling Arena, the Jayhawks have won 6 of 7 in the month of February. That includes wins over Oklahoma State and now Texas Tech. Granted, it also includes sweeps over Iowa State and Kansas State, so not a whole lot to get super excited about. But it's been impressive the way that Kansas has been able to consistently compete. The only loss this month is to West Virginia. So Kansas starting to pick up some momentum at the right time. West Virginia, speaking of which, rallied from 19 down in Austin to stun Texas 84-82. Texas with so many chances at the end of that game to win it, just got discombobulated in the second half, had some defensive breakdowns, and unable to put West Virginia away. Miles McBride with 17 points for West Virginia. Courtney Ramey had 28 points on 9 of 13 shooting for the Longhorns. Didn't matter, as West Virginia just stormed back in the second half and found a way to win that basketball game. Longhorns led by 10 at the end of the first half, and West Virginia did its part offensively in the second half to scrap out a win. Villanova defeated UConn 68-60, so Villanova picks up another solid win. UConn was on the bubble in the first four out, according to Joe Lunardi, entering the weekend. It's probably going to push them back. Saw on ESPN earlier in the day that after that loss, Lunardi had moved them to his next four out, which is where Ole Miss was before the loss to Mississippi State. A team that was in the last four in, two teams actually that were in the last four in coming into this weekend. Minnesota and Stanford. We'll start with Minnesota. Illinois absolutely pummels the Golden Gophers 94-63. The Illini, the fifth ranked team in the nation. Kofi Coburn with 22 points as he continues to have a solid offensive season. Ayo Dosunmu with 19 points on 9 of 16 shooting, but also 10 rebounds and 10 assists. So another triple double for Ayo Dosunmu this season. He continues to be an absolute force for Illinois, showing why they were a preseason top 10 team. The other bubble team, a notable one anyway, that lost, Stanford losing to Washington State in triple overtime. This game was absolutely crazy. Stanford had control of the game late, very late in regulation, couldn't find a way to put it home, had chances at the end of the first overtime, were fortunate to get that game to a third overtime after having a bunch of turnovers late in the game. They found themselves in foul trouble. Oscar Da Silva ends up fouling out in overtime, finishes with just 11 points, but turnovers continuing to pile up for Stanford. They finished with 23 in this game. Despite shooting 51% from the field, Stanford fell to Washington State 85-76. They were held scoreless in the third overtime. I repeat, scoreless entirely in the third overtime. So after Stanford tied the game at 76 at the end of the second overtime, did not score again. Washington State closed the game out on a 9-0 run in the final 5 minutes. And Stanford, that might have been the nail in the coffin for their tournament hopes. Now, they've got opportunities. They go to USC on Monday, and that has to be must win. I feel like Stanford has to win out if it wants a chance to get into the big dance. That would certainly help its case if it could go on the road and beat the Trojan. It gets Oregon at home and then closes out the season against Oregon State. So you have a couple of games there with USC and Oregon that could potentially give you some momentum going in to the postseason. If there is a Pac-12 tournament, that couldn't hurt Stanford's case either. But that's just a really, really horrible loss for Stanford today against a bad Washington State team. We've got Missouri, as we mentioned, and Alabama both winning, so two other ranked SEC teams. Florida State held off Pittsburgh. Oklahoma was up by a lot in the first half, and Iowa State rallied to tie this game, found a way to claw its way back in, briefly took the lead midway through the second half, and then Oklahoma woke back up and went on a run to close out the game, ended up winning by 10. But after leading by so much early, at one point Oklahoma got off to a 28-9 run to open up the game. At one point led by 21 in the first half, Iowa State comes back to take the lead. And Iowa State, they've been playing hard. This is a team that's been competitive in some of these losses, despite the fact that they're 2-16. They've only had one season in school history where they've gone winless in conference play. They're running out of chances here towards the end of this stretch. We mentioned USC going up against Stanford coming up on Monday. The Trojans coming off an 81-72 loss to Arizona. So a tough break there.
Looking around the rest of the teams that were on the bubble, North Carolina picking up a really important win earlier in the day. They entered the weekend as one of Lenardi's last four byes. They get a really impressive win over Louisville, 99-54. This is a Louisville team that was 11-4 going into the game. They've had a bunch of games canceled or postponed because of COVID-19. But North Carolina with 48 points in the first half, 51 in the second, and getting 21 points out of Deron Sharp. So North Carolina needed one, and they got a big one at home. So the Tar Heels still hanging in there as we get closer to March. Out of the Big East, you had Xavier that is still sitting there on that bubble. And for the Musketeers, it been a while since they played, but they're coming off that loss to St. John's on Tuesday. So not something that Xavier was looking for by any means, but they have a really important game that you can't lose coming up on Sunday against Butler. So that's one that you need to try to avoid. Drake is still hanging on there. So Lunardi is expecting that Loyola of Chicago will get the automatic bid coming out of the Missouri Valley, but Drake is still there. They play Evansville tomorrow, so a chance to improve to 22-2. Again, just trying to hang on while their best scorer, Hemphill, is still out with that broken bone in his foot. And then looking around the rest of some of the Power Conference teams out of the Big Ten, you've got Maryland that has its some tournament hopes riding on a big game against Rutgers coming up on Sunday. Penn State and Iowa coming up on Sunday, so Iowa trying to improve its seed. Wisconsin trying to hold steady. And then the big game you have coming out of that conference, of course, Sunday at 1 o'clock is Michigan and Ohio State. And both teams ranked in the top five of the AP poll. This could be a really big game for both of those teams. Some teams that were trying to get in, I mentioned St. John's beating Xavier. Well, St. John's entered the weekend in Lenardi's next four out. So a possibility that the Red Storm could find a way to play their way in if things bounce their way. Colorado State was supposed to play Nevada today. That game got postponed. Another team that was in the first four out. And then out of the Atlantic 10, we've seen how deep this conference can be. Richmond picked up another win over the weekend. And for largely what we're seeing, VCU in first place in that conference. Richmond's kind of fallen off a little bit just because they haven't really played a ton of basketball, just 12-5 on the year. For a while, it was looking like St. Louis could be a team to really watch out for, and they're still on the bubble, but they've only played 15 games. So just 11-4 in the season and only 4-3 in conference play. So St. Louis last played on the 19th, lost to Dayton. Before that, beat LaSalle. Their next game coming up on Tuesday against VCU. Then they get Richmond. So St. Louis, if they can stop having cancellations, could actually close out with an opportunity to pick up a couple of key wins here. Two wins might get the Atlantic 10 another team into the league. So, and then of course, St. Bonaventure is in the last four in while we're on the Atlantic 10. St. Bonaventure 10-3 overall, 8-3 in conference play, coming off a win, a loss over to VCU back on February 12th. They haven't played since, as their two games this past week were canceled. They're scheduled to play Davidson on Sunday afternoon. So that's a look at the bubble, and then looking ahead at the SEC, we'll do that when we come back in our final segment of the Behind the Arc podcast.
So as of now, the SEC tournament is set to be played in March, but before that, we still have a couple of games remaining in league play with 1 week left to go in the regular season. Alabama 13-1 and 3.5 games ahead of LSU and Arkansas, so the Crimson Tide have already clinched the SEC regular season title. We'll see if the Texas A&M game gets rescheduled. Haven't gotten a formal word on that, but Alabama has a tough game against Arkansas coming up on Wednesday, closes out the season against Mississippi State. LSU and Arkansas both 9-4. Florida's at 7-5. Tennessee is 8-6. Missouri 7-6. Mississippi and Kentucky at 7-7. Mississippi State at 6-8. Georgia at 6-9. Auburn at 5-9. South Carolina at 3-9. Texas A&M at 2-6. Vanderbilt at 2-10. Games coming up this week on Tuesday. Texas A&M is at Kentucky. LSU is at Georgia. So a game that LSU should win, but certainly one that you want to make sure that you don't lose. Missouri is at home against Ole Miss. That's a big bubble game, I think, for just in terms of the NCAA tournament. I don't think Missouri is in danger of not going. Obviously, it hurts having, you know, ever since you beat Alabama, all you've done is lose three of your last four. So not a game that Missouri wants to drop, but a game that Ole Miss desperately needs. And then you've got Florida going to Auburn. So the Gators trying to avoid some sort of upset on the road against a Tigers team that can put up some points. And then on Wednesday, Tennessee's at Vanderbilt, Mississippi State hosts South Carolina, and then the big one, the marquee one for this week, Alabama visiting Arkansas Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, a game that really could kind of ultimately decide where Alabama falls in terms of a seed line, because that's a high quality resume opportunity for the Crimson Tide if it's trying to compete and be in the conversation for a two or even a one seed if things really fall into place for Alabama. Coming up on Saturday, Tennessee is at Auburn, South Carolina is at Georgia, Arkansas welcomes LSU, Vanderbilt hosts Ole Miss, Florida's at Kentucky, Missouri hosts Texas A&M, Alabama's at Mississippi State. So we've got two games left in the regular season, barring any rescheduled games from earlier postponements. Tennessee still has a Florida game that it could potentially reschedule, so we'll see what happens there. As we mentioned, Arkansas did not play on Saturday against Texas A&M, so which has just kind of been the flow of the season. So it's what we've all
come to just understand at this point in the year that postponements can happen, but it does appear for the time being, and of course cancellations can happen at the last second. It happened at the very last second a year ago, but the SEC tournament as of now still scheduled to be played. And as ESPN's Joe Lenardi currently predicts, six SEC teams in his bracketology, with Ole Miss likely being knocked off the bubble after that loss to Mississippi State on Saturday. So Tennessee falls to Kentucky 70-55. The Volunteers have to bounce back. They've got that midweek game coming up against Vanderbilt before closing out the season at Auburn. And Tennessee, with its offensive struggles, needs to find a way to bounce back and get going in a hurry and find some consistency and get hot, because you're starting to see other teams that were once struggling, they're starting to figure it out. LSU starting to figure it out. You've got a team like Kansas that is starting to figure it out. So you have several other teams that are starting to consistently figure it out. And that's bad news for a team like Tennessee, which has shown offensively it hasn't figured it out yet. So we will see what Tennessee does with the game against Vanderbilt coming up on Wednesday at 9 o'clock. You can listen to pregame coverage starting at 8:30 right here on the Sports Animal with the Tennessee Tip-Off Show. And then Bob Kessling and Burt Riddlecamp will have the call for you at 9 o'clock. Thank you so much for listening to the Behind the Arc podcast. Remember, hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star rating and review, and tell a college basketball fan you know about the podcast. I'm Joel Silverberg. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Behind the Arc podcast.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal.